What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough, go through some things, and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show. We have a very special guest in studio today. He's a friend of mine. We used to train together back in the day, and he's a fighter. He does multitude of different martial arts. The great and powerful Kendall Whitehead. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello. Glad to have you.
Well, Kendall, you and I, we were trained together at Finney's back in the day, and you know, you came in as a wrestler and then kind of eventually transitioned more into MMA.
Sir.
What talk to me about, you know, kind of what that transition was like what was going from wrestling to, you know, mixed martial arts like?
Yeah, so I pretty much grew up around wrestling. My dad, big wrestler. He was a 3-time state champion in Oklahoma, went to the University of Oklahoma to wrestle. So wrestling's like always been around
in the blood.
My older brothers wrestled, they were state champs, so it was kind of
St. Louis.
No, Oklahoma right. as well. Yeah.
Is that where you grew up?
I didn't grow up. I was born in Oklahoma. I grew up in St. Louis. Okay. So I claim St. Louis whenever anybody asks. But I was born in Tulsa, moved to St. Louis when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So like I said, I don't really know much about Oklahoma. But my brothers were state champs. I just always watched wrestling. So I was like, man, I have no choice. So I tried it out. I didn't get that state champion status. I always joke that, you know, wrestlers are better in my era of wrestling. But I always loved it, though. Just the grind, always just having the mentality to win one versus one kind of mentality, and it's all on you. So, once I transitioned to MMA, it's like because I saw the movies, you know, that everybody says, oh, you know, never back down. That's like the cliche, the movie. And I was like, man, I could see myself doing that one day. And I was like 12 years old at the time. So I was always had that MMA in the question. Like it was always, I feel like it was destined to happen. Just didn't know when. But when I was in after I graduated high school, I went to the University of Eversville in Illinois, SIUE. And I was trying to walk on that team. And
wrestling team?
Yep, on the wrestling team. And I couldn't really get in contact with the coach. I was always pushed around to like assistant coach, and I was like trying to get my foot in the door to get on the team, because I always thought, I'm like, man, I could definitely beat these guys. These guys do not look anything special. And I would always talk to my dad and just be like, man, I watch their practice. I'm like sneaking and trying to peek through the door. I'm like, they're not doing anything special, and ended up giving up on that. And I was like, all right, I was 19. I'm like, all right, it's time to, give this MMA thing a go. And that's where I found Finney's and found all you guys. So
yeah. So what made you pick Finney's?
I literally Googled MMA gyms near me.
It's perfect. This one's down the street.
Yeah, I was like, cool. And I literally put no thought into it. I was like, I literally think it was the first one that popped up, and I'm like, cool, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah. So, you went to Lindbergh, right?
Or no? I went to Ladue.
Okay.
I went to Ladue High School. So I don't really, it's not that close. Lindbergh is close to Finney's, but I didn't go there. But no, I went to Ladue, and
I was thinking of Max went to Lindbergh.
He did. Yes, he did. Yeah, we ended up. I remember we and Max wrestled. We didn't wrestle each other, but our schools did. And I remember seeing him there. So yeah. I'm glad I dodged that bullet.
Yeah, dodged that bullet. Backy standing bullet.
he was heavier than I was. Yeah, I think he wrestled 170. I think he actually got beat that day. But we had a really, our team was pretty stacked. But no, I remember wrestling his team though. But Finney's was the first school, that our first gym to pop up. I'm like, cool, that's where I'm going to go try out. Me and my parents toured it. I was like, I don't know why we're touring. This is where I want to go. I don't care. And literally, we toured, signed up, and I was at class the very next day. So
did you start, did you just start right away getting into the striking stuff? Or I know you used to come to the jiu-jitsu classes, because that's all I ever did. I did a few kickboxing classes when I was there, but I primarily was just there for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I don't remember, I think I was just everywhere. I'm pretty sure when I signed up for the membership there, I was like, I'm just going to do everything. Yeah, so I probably did gear more towards the striking because I had already.
Brand new.
Yeah, I was like, this is something new. And that's kind of why I drifted off to kickboxing as well in my career, because I was like, man, I've wrestled forever. Like, this is a new challenge, something new to learn, and something I have to, start from square one with. And yeah, I just remember striking. I was pretty, really bad at striking. And I ended up coming in as a orthodox fighter when turns out I'm a southpaw striker because of the way I lead with your right. Yeah, and I guess they didn't the coaches didn't pick that up at first until I got into Eric's class and he was like, didn't you wrestle? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, get in your stance for me. And I remember getting in my wrestling stance. He's like, yeah, you're literally a southpaw.
Yeah.
And then it all started clicking. I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense now. But that's striking. And then after I got through all the striking classes, I'm like, all right, that's when I started going to jiu-jitsu classes, and I started, seeing guys like you, Max, Adam Sell, all those guys, and I was getting beat up.
But, yeah. Oh, dude, I was brand new. That was right around, I think when you started there, was right around when I started.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was there, right there with you, getting beat up.
Yeah.
So
now you're like, what, purple belt? You probably tear me up on the mat now.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Do you not focus on jiu-jitsu as much?
I dabble. I don't focus on gi jiu-jitsu as much. Like, it's a lot of no gi that I do. Just
For what you do.
I definitely do want to get into more gi. I think having the belts is cool, and then it's more technical. So I think I would learn a lot more moves, because I got like I tell people, I got like 3 or 4 moves, and if you beat those, we're just gonna be sitting there stalling. So,
well, you got time for that. You can do gi jiu-jitsu into your. Late into your life, you know, like what you're doing right now is you got to kind of capitalize on this time while you're young. It's like you don't see pro MMA fighters into their, into their late 30s typically, that's kind of, you kind of have a shorter lifetime, like lifespan on, fighting professionally, whereas you can compete in jiu-jitsu for, I know plenty of guys in their late 40s and 50s that compete all the time. So it's like you can get into that later in life. And it is a much slower game than, slamming your bones into another guy's head, it's a little bit easier on the body and some aspects, how long from when you started training at Finney's to when you had your first fight?
It was pretty quick. So I would say 5 or 6 months. So I actually went behind Eric's back and got a fight on my own. And so Rob, he's the matchmaker at Finney's, I had gotten pretty decent on pads, and I looked, athletic and fast enough on pads that I guess he thought I was ready. And he had asked me, he's like, hey, man, you want to take a fight? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. I didn't know the rules that you had to, go through certain coaches, to get, corners and all that. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I ended up getting like 2 other guys from the gym to just corner me. And they agreed. And I remember being there, and Eric was there, and he's like, you fighting tonight? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm the first fight of the night. And I just remember the look on his face. It's like, how did this get passed?
So it was like, how long from day one to when you're making that walk?
Like I said, it was like, probably like not even, it was definitely like 6 months. It was not
quick. Yeah, it was 6 months. At least you had a little, I'm glad it wasn't 2 weeks.
Oh, no. It was 6 months.
I took one class. I'm ready to go.
Dude, people try.
Oh,
to
do that. Dude, I see red and you don't want to be in my path.
I have, it's crazy. Like I work, I teach classes at Eric's gym, and the amount of people, like, you know, teenage boys that'll come in, like after seeing Jake Paul get a win over some elderly man, they're like, yeah, how long before I get a fight? I'm like, brother, you just signed the waiver. Like, yeah, I'm not even a member of the gym. Like,
you haven't got punched yet.
Yeah, let's see how sparring goes on Saturday. You
it's
know,
like see how you throw a 1-2. Like, you just it's just people jump the gun too fast, and that's something I would have told myself back then. Just, you know, 6 months is crazy. Like, even like when people come in and just ask, well, when can I fight? I tell them, like, dude, you should. I always say a year, dude. Like, I. Yeah. At least a year, just to
get a year of training under your belt. That's not a bad. That's not a bad piece of advice, in my opinion.
Because it's not a game out there. Like, you could literally be put this. Like, I've seen people die in there. Like, just like, why do you want to risk like going in there? Oh, to look cool, to get a couple of Instagram followers. It's sure. Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, how long have you been fighting? Well, professionally.
So I have my pro debut on in March. So I haven't had any professional fights yet. But
how long have you been competing in MMA? And
I would say about 5-6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, because you started around the same time.
Yeah.
I've been training for 6 years.
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a learning experience. Like I said, obviously, I mean, if you see my MMA record, it didn't start off as good. It didn't start off good, but.
Hey, it's amateur, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, you
they don't mean anything.
Yeah, you get to start over here in March, right? You got
sure,
a clean
yep,
record,
zero,
right?
Oh, no. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, but the competitor in me, I hated hearing that. Like, you know, being like, I took my first loss when I was 22, I believe, and I was just like devastated. I'm like, I didn't want to, you know, people were saying that same thing. Like, it doesn't matter, man. Your record goes back to 0-0, and I'm just sitting there crying. Like, it does matter. I just got beat. Like, not used to losing. I don't like to lose and still have that mentality now. I just, you know, obviously I'm 25 now, so I grew, and, you know, I can, if I do lose, I definitely can take it, you know, better than I did when I was 20 and 22. So
sure. Yeah. So you had your first fight at 20, and then I guess I'm assuming that was COVID.
Yeah.
Right,
so
COVID,
that's
right?
And that's kind of what I always tell people that kind of screwed me. Like, I had my first fight 20 years old in January of 2020, I believe. And then, right, that was the last event before COVID, like, really hit. Like, after that, they didn't have any more shows for, like, they didn't have a show for, like, a year, but I didn't fight I didn't have another fight until I was, like, 22.
Two years later.
Yes, it was, like, that layoff, and I think that kind of, you know, screwed the momentum that I had. Like, I think once I came back from COVID, it was, like, having my debut again, and I think that's kind of what screwed me. I think if I would have had another fight, like, I planned on, like
6 months later or something. Yeah.
I had one scheduled after that. Like, I remember it was, like, January, and then it was like March, so I would have had that time, and then I'd have been right back in there. But obviously COVID hit and they canceled like everything.
Do you think it allowed you to get more technical in the gym and develop new skills to prepare you for the next kick
for
jump
sure.
off?
For sure. I definitely trained a lot. I think it just took me out of the killer mentality. Like, I didn't have I forgot what it felt like to compete, because it took so long off. Like, I mean, I was, you know, getting better in the gym, but, you know, I mean,
it's always different.
It's training. Like, you know, like I said, I was training all the time as much as I could with COVID, and we were still sneaking to the gym, obviously. But,
you know, so you had your second fight in 22, and then so were both of those fights amateur MMA fights?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was it was all MMA. So I took my first loss 22. I was 1-1, and then I, so stubborn, I begged my
Eric, get me back in there.
Yep. In which terrible mistake. And I learned, like I said, all the things that I messed up on, I push onto the younger guys at our gym. Like, I begged my coach to get me back in there. I'm like, Eric, please, like, I got to redeem myself.
Yeah, redeem yourself, dude. I feel the same way.
And you know, in combat sports, you know, you don't really get, there is no.
No do-overs.
Yeah, you're do-overs, done. Like, NBA, lost. You know, basketball, you.
Go loop, play them again, yeah.
Next day, you're playing another game. Nobody cares anymore. But, you know, MMA, kickboxing, whatever, you take a loss, you have that time off. Like, you got to kind of sit on that for a minute and work your way back. But I begged and begged. I think I got back in there maybe a month later.
Oh, fuck. Really fast.
Really fast for a way better promotion. So I don't know if you're familiar with LFA,
yeah.
But that's.
Oh, shit. You fought at LFA.
LFA is like, you know, prestige.
Yeah, it's like
shows.
It's like the step, like right below the UFC. And LFA pulls, or UFC pulls a lot of guys
100%
from LFA.
And I knew that, and I think I put so much pressure on myself from that, too. I'm like.
Were you the one in the factory?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I was at that show.
Yep.
Oh, dude, actually, I remember the fight. Okay, sorry.
Yep. So I was at that fight, I fought there. Super, you know, I wanted my get back, and, you know, I was actually winning that fight. I was doing really well. And I just got caught in, I think it was a armbar triangle. Like he had me in a triangle, then transitioned to an armbar, and didn't know anything about armbars and all of that. And I was getting the finish. I'm smashing the guy, waiting for the ref to pull off. I kind of got a little lax because I saw the ref, you know, coming close. I'm like, oh, he's going to stop the fight. Dude shoots his leg up around my neck, and catches, I just kind of freak out a little bit. Yeah, I'm like, oh, crap. And once I felt my arm, like, about getting ready to break, I was like, nah,
I want to train tomorrow.
He ain't going to break my arm, man. Like, I ain't, especially I'm not getting paid, but
yeah,
ended up losing that one. That was a heartbreaker, too, because it's like, man, LFA. And it was like I was winning the fight and just dumb stuff. And then lost that one. And like the same thing. I'm like, dude, I gotta get back in there. I just begging. Didn't happen as quick as a month, but it was like, two, three months. I'm back in there, and I believe that's the that was the FAC one, another big promotion.
Yeah.
In Kansas City. So it's just like big promotion to another big promotion, and if you know anything about, you know, the Kansas City guys, if you're coming from out of town, you're probably going to be fighting a hometown boy, and it's probably not going to go unless you kill them. You're probably not going to end up winning, man. He ended up, I think he finished me in the first or second round. I can't remember, but. Lost that one again, and then
three in a row,
and then you start to
doubt it. Like, should I be doing this anymore? What am I fucking doing? 100%.
I'm sitting there like, I don't think I am the fighter that I thought. I don't think I'm the athlete that, you know, people were, hyping me up more than I'd hype up myself. They're like, oh yeah, you look like you have the look. Like, it's okay to have the look, but you got to be able to actually translate. Yeah, like I know a lot of guys that are, you know, shredded, ripped up, and then you get hit one time and they're crumbling. You know, so. Sure. Yeah, I was just, people were gassing me up and I had my head full, and I almost just felt like I was, you know, letting all those people that had so much hope in me down. And that's just, it was the worst. And I took a little bit of time off and I just trained again and, you know, tried to get my head on straight. And I took a short notice fight for Nemesis against a guy who I 100% could have beaten, still can beat today, probably. I would beat him today, and I ended up, we went to a 3-round war, and I lost a split decision that people, you know, everybody in there thought I won, but you know how that goes. Nobody
doesn't care.
People in the crowd.
There's only
think.
There's only three people in that crowd that matter what they think.
100%. And I've since watched the fight, and I'm like, I definitely did enough to win, but it's like I said, you didn't get your hand raised. So I'm after that, that's 4 in a row. I'm 1-4, and I'm just walking out of there bawling my eyes out. Like, you know, people are trying to, you know, pick my head up. You know, my dad told me, like, telling me going to be all right and not to give up. And it's like, in your head, you're like, you know, how can I not? It's
four
like
fights in a row.
Four in a row. Like, yeah. I have lost four. Like, any hope that any of these people had in me is probably long gone out the window. At least the ones that truly care about you, you know, that you think. But I took more time off. Like, I was so to the point.
When was that last?
I believe that was. I think it was like April of 22 or 23. I can't remember. I know. Yeah, it was 2 years ago, I believe.
April of 23.
Yeah. And I took time off, and I was in my head, I was like, I'm done with this MMA thing. Like, I didn't even really have the hunger to fight anymore. I was still watching UFC and still, you know, having a good time with my friends watching. But I was just like, yeah, that ain't going to never be me. So I just didn't. Watching fights was different for me. You know, I was watching UFC, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there one day. And after, you know, taking four fights in a row, you kind of watch sport UFC different. You're like, well, I don't really care about it that much because I ain't going to be there. And took some time off, and Eric was like, hey, how about we try some, like.
But you're still training this whole time.
So oh, yeah, right? I'm still training, like, not as much as I did when I thought
preparing
I was. Yeah, I was like, I'm popping in because, you know, my friends are still there. You know, I still got friends there, you know, that I.
That's where you go to get a workout.
100%, you know, get a sweat. So I'm more so there just, you know, being a body, you know, just getting a sweat, like you say, clearing my head, you know, just chatting it up with my friends. And I guess I was looking real good one day. And, you know, Eric's like, hey, man, how about we try stand up fights, you know, because there's only so many fights you can lose in Missouri as an amateur before they're like, hey, you can't fight. You literally can't fight anymore. Like, or you can't do MMA. You think it's like 6 fights in a row. And I was teetering, you know, I'm
sure,
two away.
Yeah.
So he's like, how about we just, let's try some kickboxing. Maybe that'll, you know, get some wins in kickboxing and, you know, get that, you know, that the hunger back and, you know, get your confidence back. And I agreed and ended up taking my first kickboxing match for Nemesis. And like, I performed so well. Like I, you know, I felt that flow state again. I could feel in the ring. I felt like I felt myself coming back. I started having fun with it. And I was like, man, that's what I needed. And that's literally what that kickboxing fight is literally what jump started me back to, you know, where I am now. Like,
it's amazing what a good coach can do for you.
100%. And, you know? Yeah. And I, like I said, I give credit to Eric all the time. Like, he could have gave up on me too. And just been like, what could have been, he what should have, could have, would have, I'm done, on to the next. But he, you know, he saw in me what I didn't see in myself for a long time. And now it's starting to, you know, come out, and I'm starting to see it when I'm fighting and walking out to the ring. I'm just so confident. Like I tell people, like, at this point in my life, you're going to have to like pretty much kill me in there to get a win over me. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you've had a hell of a year.
Oh yeah.
So, so you took that first kickboxing fight and then you won that one. And then
I went
so
on,
then
a,
you went kind yeah, of on a tear.
I
right?
went on a tear. So I ended up winning. I won four stand-up fights in a row. I believe it was two kickboxing, two Muay Thai fights. And then I fought for my first title in for stand-up fight series, March of 23. And I ended up getting knocked out in that fight. And I took another loss, and I was 4-1 in the title fight. Another heartbreaker. That one sucked.
For the belt. Yeah.
Yeah, it was for the belt. I thought I was the man. I'm like, man,
just won four in a row.
I'm on top invincible. Of the world. Yeah, I'm beating really good guys. And I lost the title fight. Heartbreaker. I got, you know, caught in the beginning of the second round, and I was devastated. I'd never been knocked out like that. I got my lights knocked out, and I just remember, like, it was crazy. I remember seeing my mom's reaction, and that was the worst feeling. That was worse than losing the fight, just seeing how like upset she was. Cause, like I said, I've never been hit like that. I've never been put out. And my mom she was front row, and she had to watch that. And, you know, my mom's a nurse. Like, she's trying she's like
my baby.
Yeah. Wow. She's about ready to jump in that ring and,
yeah. and tackle and, that yeah, boy.
Go kick that guy's ass. Yeah.
My friend Austin, you know, he a great dude. He's like holding her and consoling her. Cause she, like I said, she was like, he was devastated. You
sure.
know, I'm her oldest son. So, I lost that one. I had to take some time. I had to take 90 days off because they gave me a 90-day suspension. So I had no choice but to take time off. I trained.
Just because like a concussion protocol type thing?
Yeah, 90 days is what they gave me. And I just tried to, 89 days I got offered, or I tried offered to step in on short notice for another title fight for stand-up fight series, but they called it because it was not, my protocol wasn't up. It was 89 days, and I tried to really, I'm like, come on, dude, it's one day. But they take that stuff, as they should. They take it very seriously, and I didn't get that fight. But after that, I got back on the horse. I took a fight in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and that was for another title. And we ended up winning that one. Got my first title, and that's really what
I'm like. So you went straight back to another title fight?
Yeah, so, and I took that one on short notice. It was lower weight class. That was probably the hardest weight cut I've ever had. It was like 152, and it was on short notice. So
what do you walk around at?
About 75, 78 on my heavy days, but most of the time it's 75. And actually, I backtrack. I fought Arvin Mills before this title fight. So I fought Arvin, and then 2 weeks later, they offered me that fight in Fort Wayne. So obviously I cut weight for Arvin.
Sure.
So I won, I'm eating. I'm like, they're like, hey, somebody got injured. There's an opportunity for a title. And I'm like, man, a title. I remember when last time I fought for a title. So I'm like hungry to, you know, get that belt. So I'm like, all right, let's go. I think I weighed 172 pounds, and it was, the weight class is 152, and you have to make it 0.0 because of the title fight. So there is no pound allowance. So I made it right on the dot. I was 152.0 on the nose. And I fought a really good seasoned guy. Probably still to this day, one of my toughest fights I've ever had, because it was 5 rounds and we went all 5. I won a split decision, hardest fight, short notice. And I beat a really good guy, and that's what really did it for me. I was like, man, if I can beat a guy like this on 2 weeks' notice, I shouldn't have a problem with, you know, any of these guys that come my way. And after that, I had a title fight. Then I got another title fight from a stand-up fight series. So I fought another really good guy, Team USA kickboxer. That fight probably scared me. It scared me a lot because I'm like I said, I see you see Team USA on a car. You're like, you automatically assume I'm like, crap, all right, screw it, let's go. So I signed up for that fight. He ended up missing weight by like 11 pounds. So
holy shit.
Yeah. So
fuck you. Yeah. I don't know. Jesus.
Yeah. So he ended up missing weight by 11 pounds. And I was like, you know, I made weight. I'm like, screw it, I'm here, let's fight. So I'm already at a disadvantage because he's, you know, he missed weight by a huge margin. So he looked big in the ring too, but I was like, you know what? Like I said, I beat a guy on 2 weeks' notice who had way more fights, way more experience for me from, you know, Florida, better striking state. I'm like, I can beat this dude, and ended up beating him in unanimous decision. I won double champ. So I'm like, damn, I got a belt
double,
for each.
Yeah,
I got a belt
champ. Champ.
I got a belt for each shoulder. So I'm just like, I'm like, all right, cool. This is cool. So ended up after that, I took some time off. I trained, and then I fought four times this year. So
had a hell of a year.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the order.
So that Arvin Mills fight, was that the only time you fought him?
Yeah, I only fought him.
You back for a rematch?
No, I don't. No? I don't really think he wants one. I mean, I don't. It really wouldn't make sense. I fought Arvin mainly just to get on that Ballpark Village card. I was like, you know what? I told him, I was like, I'm willing to fight anyone as long as I can get on the Ballpark Village card. I'm like, yeah. Whoever, if he was the first one, so I'm like, cool.
Sick, yeah.
Yeah, sick card. And but yeah, I ended up fighting. After that, I got another title fight. So that's the one I went to Fort Wayne, Indiana for in August. And that's when I got my spinning back fist KO.
Ooh. Was that the first one?
That was the first
one. That was kickboxing.
Yeah, that was a kickboxing one. And so that was for another title. And so I knocked that guy out. And now I was like, man, now I got a belt around my waist and two on my shoulders. And I was like, man, I could really make this a thing. Like, I'm just beating good guys. Like, and that guy had come off, and he had came off another title fight. And he's still doing good things now. After he's since won a title after I beat him. So like I said, I'm beating good guys. Like, I beat him. I'm like, I'm triple champ now. So after that fight, Eric was like, hey, we need to turn pro. It's like, there's really not much to do. Like, you have like every belt you can get in striking. So I'm like, all right, cool. But then he was like, hey, so if you want to do MMA again, I need you to take one more amateur fight, because once you turn pro in kickboxing, you're pro in everything. And he's like, if you're ever going to do MMA, I need you to dip your feet back in there. And I was nervous at first because, you know, I'm like, yeah, the last time I did MMA, I lost four in a row. Like,
sure,
I'm the man in kickboxing. People, you know, people think highly of me in striking. Why not just stay there? But I was like, you know what? That UFC thing does sound kind of cool. Let's try again. So I asked Nemesis, the promoter. I'm like, hey, can you give me the hardest 155 fighter that's available? I don't care who it is. Like, I just want a hard fight, because if I'm going to do one MMA fight, I want it to be to test me. I want to be tested in every area. And they came up with Luke Winston, and I was familiar with him. I seen him fight, super good wrestler, grappler. I'm like, all right.
So that's a challenge.
A challenge. I'm like, someone who's, you know, not going to, you know, try to stand and bang. They're going to try to shoot. So I thought, but I started going to Revive. I started training at different jiu-jitsu gyms. I started really just hammering my grappling, because I'm like, I can grapple, but I want to be able to have the cardio for it, to be able to go to scramble with them, to move around with them. And we ended up taking that fight. It was 59 seconds long, and it was just chaos from start to finish. He came out swinging hard, and I guess he wanted to test himself against a seasoned kickboxer, and he found out the hard way that he probably should stick to your roots. Stick what got you to the dance, because he started striking and throwing wild shots. And like I said, I guess I saw red. You know, people say they all see red. That was my version of seeing red. He had clipped me, and I was like, oh crap, this is for real. And, you know, small gloves too. Like, sure. I haven't fought in small gloves in so long. I'm used to like 10-ounce gloves, you know, 8-ounce gloves. I'm like, that 4-ounce MMA gloves, he hit me. I'm like, well, that's a different feeling. So we start getting wild, and you know, Eric's yelling at me in the corner. He's like, you know, calm down. Like, you know, act like you've been there before. And once I heard that, I'm like, all right, let me compose myself, and started seeing all his shots. And I'm like, he's pressuring heavy. I'm coming off the cage. I'm like, wait a minute, this looks mad familiar. I just did this. I'm like, I'm like, let me try it again. So I just let it loose. Not even knowing that I would land. Like, people are like, oh, you set that up. I'm like, in a way, it wasn't set up. I just, I had been there before. So I, in my head, I'm like, let me just throw it. If I don't land, cool. I'll just figure something out. But I'm like, it looks too familiar not to try. So I threw it as quick as I could. And I just remember feeling that out of my glove and then seeing in the corner of my eye, his body limp. And I'm just, you know, livid. I'm going crazy. Like, this is my first MMA win in like two and a half years. Like, I'm.
Man, it was spectacular. Yeah, it was awesome. It was like, actually, I wanted to, we might as well have it pulled up here. Let's just
When he says he did it quickly, you can't even see it on this. You have to watch the replay to catch it.
Let's just throw it up here. Kendall just kind of walk us. I mean, it's only like 58 seconds, like you said. Let's just walk through the fight here, and you can kind of walk us through it. How did the name Hollywood come about?
I came to the gym one day, forgot to take my shades off my face, and you know, people were like, "Ooh, this cool guy, so Hollywood." And somebody's like, "Dude, that's a good nickname for you." I'm like, I started, you know, repeating it to myself. I'm like, you know, that's not bad. Let's go with it. I didn't have a nickname before, so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah. All right. So. Starting here.
Freaking out inside right now. I remember this feeling. I'm like, all right, come on. Flip me. I'm backing up. Yeah, I'm like, this is literally just going crazy. Wild shots, you know. Shot. You look like an amateur, right? You're just throwing caution to the wind. Yeah. Just
wild hooks. Well, he's trying to shoot in there.
Yep.
Got him up against the cage here.
Like, there's, uppercuts. You know, not a lot of technique involved. This is a bar brawl right now.
Yeah.
Wasn't about that point where your coach
right, said. Yeah, probably where Eric's like, all right, act like you've been there before.
And, you know, now I'm locked, pretty composed.
Now you're looking composed.
Seeing his shots, you know, still being cautious, circling off the cage. And at this point right here, I'm really dialed in. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, he wants a kickboxing match. I'll give it to him. Still super wild shots.
Yeah. Dirty boxing.
And that's his style, you know, just pressure. I'm like, nope, block, pivot, and spin.
Oh, fuck. And you jump up on the cage.
So much emotion. Yeah.
Then you trip over the ref. I'll send this one to Murph and he'll have him throw it into the video. But no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's, and then just was announced this past week. You won this was knockout of the year.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For Nemesis. Yeah,
congrats, man.
Yeah, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What's that feel like?
Oh, it's like I said, like two years ago, you would have told me I would have had all this success, these three belts and knockout of the year. I would have been like, there is no way. I lost four fights in a row. There is no way I'm ever going to get to a point like this. But it just goes to show you, like, man, if you keep going and you can turn it around. You just got to stay disciplined and
don't give up.
Don't give up.
Well, I mean, you made a great pivot. I mean, you went from trying MMA to doing stand up and changed your career, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you took something. I mean, coming in as just a wrestler, you know, you really took kind of went all in on striking, you know?
And no one really calls me that anymore either. Like, I used to get announced, they're like, oh, he is a wrestler. I'm like, you know, I really can't claim that anymore. I do not shoot in for takedowns anymore. I am primarily going in there to try to
separate you from your consciousness. Yep.
More, my wrestling is more so defensive now. Like, you know, I'm sparring in the gym and doing MMA rounds. I'm like, I am trying to not get this to the ground so we can stand and bang. Because, you know, but like I always make the joke of the gym. I am preparing for the Dagestanis because they are taking over the sport.
Yes, they are.
They are taking over.
If you've got an Islamic first name and a Russian last name, better fucking look out.
Yep,
and no mustache. And a beard with no mustache.
Yep.
They're a problem.
Stay away from the EVs and the OVs.
Yeah, they're a problem.
Yeah. And so you got your first pro fight coming up. And is that a stand up? Is that a kickboxing fight or is that MMA?
They're still matchmaking. It'll be MMA though.
Okay.
So
got the lighter gloves.
Yep.
The
MMA. So I've been training mostly MMA for the remainder of the time. Chad Mueller has a stand up fight series show coming up in May, and I believe they're matchmaking for me for that. So that'll be a stand up fight. So I have two fights, you know, potentially lined up, and one MMA, one stand up. So
you don't know your opponent for the MMA yet?
No, it's still super. The show just got announced. Like I think they just put the poster out for it today. So
you're on it.
Yeah. My face is plastered on that too. So like I said, there's so many good things happening, and I'm thankful, and I put in a lot of work. So it's good to, you know, finally see a lot of it coming to fruition. You know.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. Yeah, it's so cool to see what you've done here, and like just seeing, you know, just coming from such a deficit and then building it back up to where you are now. It's fucking truly inspiring. I'm
absolutely, man.
Proud to know you.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you get a certain amount of fight guarantees with this pro, with becoming pro?
It's not a fight guarantee until you like sign a like a multi fight deal with someone. Then it's more so like you can kind of shop around like as an amp, like a lot of amp, like you just pretty much do like your amateur. You go to promotion, make sure the matchup is, you know, right. Like you're not fighting a guy who's like, you know, 12-0 mm-hmm. when you're 0-0. You just got to make sense. You know, the money's got to be right. And, you know, make sure you're not getting screwed when you're a pro. That's just more so what it is. Just more detailed looking into the contract. And I have a, you know, a great manager, Emily, who works at our gym. She's in charge of all that. So we don't have to do it. Then that makes life so much easier. I just tell her, I'm like, hey, I just want to fight. I don't care. Like, yeah, you shoot the matchup. You think it's a good matchup for me. Yeah, I'm always on board. I trust my team. So
I've always been curious about this too. When you're in the ring and like, is there a certain, like when you're looking at a guy, are you like, like with hockey, as a defenseman, they always like focus on the chest. You can see the chest, their body's got to move where their chest goes. Is there a certain thing that you're focusing on? It's
pretty similar. Similar? Yeah. You never want, it'd be really intimate.
You're not looking in their eyes.
Looking in their eyes, yeah.
I'm always looking at, the, I mean, in jiu-jitsu, I'm like kind of looking at like their hips or their belt line, kind of. You kind of see everything there.
Get a little too intimate, you know, looking a guy in his eyes.
Yeah, it's a little weird if we're grappling and I'm forehead to forehead with you.
Well, it's almost like, are you like constantly moving from arms to legs to back and forth? And I feel like, yeah, you catch a guy, you know, you're looking at his shoulders and he's going to hit you with a kick, but.
Yeah. So it, yeah, like I said, it's pretty similar. It's his, you know, chest and, you know, you can see pretty much see everything from there.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, how much grappling are you doing like training wise? I know obviously you got your first pro MMA fight coming up, so I would imagine you're probably going to ramp that up a little bit.
But. Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, once we get a contract signed, I'm probably going to, you know, dabble back into Revive and hopefully I can get out to where you're
Watson. Yeah, I mean, I train at Revive sometimes too.
So. Yeah. Hopefully I can, you know, like I said, get out to Watson. I'm going to really hammer in, but mostly now it's like a lot of MMA grappling. Like we're doing like, you know, strikes into takedowns kind of thing, fighting off. It's more MMA based. I'm not, I haven't really done like a lot locked in on the jiu-jitsu yet, but like I said, once we get a contract signed, I'm guaranteed I'm locked in on the grappling. Because, you know, that's,
well, I'm sure your opponent's going to dictate a lot of where you focus too. So
yeah, a lot of, if they're smart, a lot of these guys will implement grappling with me because, like I said, standing with me is probably, I'm going to have a lot of first round KOs. If you're going to sit there and try to stand and trade me, that's just what it is. So that's why, and that's what I thought for this fight. I'm like, there's no way like a grappler is going to sit there and stand and bang with someone who's coming off three title fight wins.
Yeah,
and like he's surprised.
Two big ass knockouts. Yeah, he, you know, one, I guess that spinning back. This was the second one, but yeah,
he shocked me for sure, and I was prepared for a three round, me be dead tired and from grappling, and you know, but went, you know, getting the show and that I can do it all, but it'll come. Like I said, somebody's gonna test it, and someone's gonna shoot in, and I'll get to show everybody that, you know, I'm not just a striker. I did start in wrestling, and I still got it. So
yeah, sure, yeah. Man. Well, yeah, I mean, you let me know. I'd love to. Get some rounds in with you whenever the time for comes. Sure. If you know, we're about the same size. We used to train together a lot. So love to I went to,
you got those tickets for sale too.
Yeah. We'd love to, you know, spread it around the club and everything. So I went up to ES with Corey like once or twice and trained with him on like Tuesday mornings.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'd love to get back in there sometimes.
Yeah. Corey's a man. He's a wizard. Sometimes I tell him, I'm like, I think you're making up moves on me because there is like, I'm like, what was that? And jiu-jitsu is like, it kills me because I'm just like, I'll be doing so good. I'm like flowing, we're scrambling. And then I'm in some weird move that has like 17. I'm like, I don't know what move this is, but it worked and it hurts. So
jiu-jitsu, there's just so much. I mean, and that's the crazy thing about it. I was talking to someone about this like yesterday. It's just like there's always new shit being invented too. Like there's always a new submission. There's always like a new something, you know. So it's like it's just constantly evolving.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, and then, you know, and people are starting so young, like even younger. I'm just like, I'll see like an Instagram reel of like a 7-year-old hitting some, you know, freakish move. And I'm like, see, those are the guys I'm preparing for. It's like, cause he's going to grow up and then he's going to be
10 years from now, he's going to be turning pro at 18.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm preparing for I'm like, you guys watch out for these, you know, these, the grade school kids. Cause these are the guys you're going to be fighting. Like these are going to be the freaks that are, you know, 18 years old, putting you in a move you've never even known about. So
Ryan, at that age, you got no fear. So you're willing to try literally anything.
For sure. Yeah.
So, But what, your parents, you mentioned your dad was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. What's their support been like through all of this?
They have not missed an event. Like, my parents have been to literally everything, like from first fight to the fight that I just had at the factory. They're always in the crowd. They will cancel stuff just to be there. Like I know my mom, she has a Florida trip in May, and I was like, hey, I might be fighting, you know, May 3rd. She's like, what day? I'm like, it's the 3rd. She's like, okay, I don't have to cancel my trip. I'm like, you didn't have to
cancel it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, my parents will go above and beyond just to be in, like, they will sacrifice their own fun just to be there, or, you know, move things around in their schedule just to be in the room. So, like I said, they're a huge part of the success that I have. Like, I don't even live with them anymore, but they're always, the support is crazy. Like, they're like, what kind of food you need? Like, I'll stop by my mom's house. She's like, yeah, meal prepping for me. It's like,
that's awesome.
It's just like little stuff like that. Like, just to make the fight and the cut easier for me. Cause like, weight cutting is not for the weak. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So what's that like for you?
Oh, it can be brutal. Some, there's, you know,
you usually fight it. What are all the weight classes you won the belt at?
So I won the 152 and then two at 159. Okay. And 159 is fairly easy. It's the getting under that that's hard. And you think a couple pounds, and like people say, oh, like two more pounds. I'm like,
yeah, but after you've already
deleted it, depleted all your.
I'm like, bro, the last two pounds is the literal worst.
Yeah, because you're on death's door.
Yeah, I'm like, I hate saunas are cool until you're cutting weight. Well, yes. I love the sauna when I'm hydrated and not depleted.
You can drink water.
Get those old guys who are just like, oh my God, bro. Like, you can take that somewhere else. Yeah. Like,
I can't even listen to you drink that.
Or they'll sit there and tell you, like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, thanks, man.
I got 2 fucking pounds to lose, buddy. Yeah. Get out of here.
It's like, it can't be good for your body. I'm like, you know, I know. It's
also
not.
Getting in a ring and getting into a fight isn't either. Yeah. So,
right.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, now, when you go to a sauna, is it like a big public gym?
Like, yeah, most of it's like a Lifetime Fitness, okay, some club fitness, love somewhere it, yeah, that has a.
So you're in there, which is, you know, because I remember at Finney too, that was one of my favorite things about Finney's was the sauna there.
Yeah.
The sauna there was super hot and it was huge. And like, you know, after class, a lot of times, you know, you just be like a bunch of dudes in there, just like the hang,
sit,
you know,
there and chat,
just
know?
Like the 10, 15 minute hang after you're done training. Great. I love it.
Well, if you need one, let us know, because they're putting one in here.
Oh, yeah. Just come in here and
just shoot us a text. Hey,
watch me die in there.
Yeah, watch you melt away.
Part of that sauna. Yeah, come on up. We'll meet you there. We'll be in there drinking water.
Yeah, this place is super close to me. That's why I was like, 8 minutes. Cool.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's cool. It's been a lot of fun being here.
Yeah.
And what made you, I guess you just followed Eric to ES after.
Yeah. Finney's? Yeah. I got, so like I said, me and Eric got super close at Finney's. Like, he was always there was other, I loved, you know, every coach there and, still friends with a lot of them, but you know, Eric was, you know, someone that I just, you know, got super close with. He helped me. I feel like he's, the one that really turned me into a striker. Like, I give a lot of the credit to him. Cause like I said, I didn't even know how to throw a proper jab when I came into Finney's, like, and then he helped me with that. He helped me get my stance right. And I've been, you know, pretty strong southpaw ever since. And so once it was even like a rumor that he was going to be open, I'm like, hey man, I'm with you. Like, you know, I'll follow. Like, I was like one of the few people he told. He's like, hey, thinking about, you know, opening a gym. If I did, would you come? And I'm like, I come. I'll be there. I'll help you open up. I'll help you put the mats in, which I did.
Yeah.
Oh, and cool. Been with him since we opened the place. I've coached there. I'm super involved there. And like I said, I don't see myself, you know, going anywhere. That's where I started with, and he's going to be who I am with. So
it's awesome. Now, you mentioned softball. Do you think that gives you an advantage in the ring?
A lot. Yeah. A lot of the time. Yep. It's a lot different looks. You know, most people are used to fighting orthodox guys. That's what, you know, there's not a bunch of us out there. So when you get a really good one, it's hard to really prepare for, you know, someone who's gonna be strike like I do. That's what I'm like. You can find all the southpaws you want. No one's gonna be able to throw the 1-2 like me, and no one's gonna be as fast and, you know, do the tricky things that I do. So yeah, I take pride in being a southpaw. And you know, people hate holding mitts for me too. Like, well, I'll do the class and they're like, oh, you're a southpaw. I'm like, it ain't that bad. Like,
no, I used to think the same thing back when I used to do, I did Muay Thai, or I did kickboxing at Finney's for a little bit. And then I did Muay Thai at Watson's for probably about a year. And man, anytime I got someone with a Southpaw, I'm like a moron.
Can I get a new partner?
Yeah, like I can't. Oh, dude. Yeah, because I'm Orthodox and I lead with my left. So it worked out great with wrestling and everything.
But, yeah, man. We can get a lot of hate sometimes, like
for sure. But it's so hard to deal with, like sparring.
Oh yeah,
it's like a completely different thing because we're both on the same side.
Exactly,
you know, it's like really fucks with you. You know, I feel like I can't land my two or anything. You know, like it's hard to deal with. But anyway, so you had your first. I guess you were on the CXBJJ card that I was on.
Yeah,
now that was that your first like jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that
match?
Was my first jiu-jitsu anything and. Like I said, I was super nervous, even though like I said, it didn't, none of it, like it didn't matter. Like that was like it was just something to do, but it was a week before my MMA fight and I was back there kind of freaking out. I'm like, oh, I'm actually more nervous than I thought. Like, I just remember walking out there and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to wrestle. I'm going to wrestle. And if I can get to a rear naked choke or, you know, an arm bar, one of the four moves that I know, because I'll go for it. But, he was a, you know, college wrestler. So he, you know, he was really good about, you know, fighting off my takedown. And so
he's a shorter guy.
Shorter, stocky guy. Yeah. And so he was really fighting me hard. I was like, man, all right, I guess this is going to be a wrestling match for 5 minutes. And I think he caught me he had my neck in a rear, or no, guillotine.
Yeah.
And I guess they gave it to him. Even though I escaped, popped my head out, I'm like, oh. They gave it to him because I guess, you know, not much jujitsu happened. And that was like the most jujitsu-y thing that happened. So they're like, all right, we'll give it to
him.
Dude,
that's exactly. So I've had two matches with the same promotion. And that's your match was almost exactly like my first match. Like I was determined to take this fucking guy down. And I was like, I should have, looking back on it, I should have pulled guard. And, but anyway, I think I shot like 7 or 8 times. And he just basically just defended. One time he had me in a guillotine and I popped my head out after like, you know, 15, 20 seconds. That's what won him. And then my last one that I was on with you, it just got caught in the fucking weirdest submission.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I ended up pulling guard too because like he wouldn't, like there was no action. I'm like, all right, man, somebody's got to
do something.
Somebody's got to break the seal. So I'm like, screw it.
I'm going to break the seal.
I'm like, I think it was so quiet. Like I'm used to, you know, people being loud, you know, you know, yelling crazy stuff in the crowd. And I'm just like, man, this is really like intimate. Like it's too quiet. I can hear myself breathe, and I didn't like that part of it. I was like, all right. And I think that kind of made it worse. I'm like, I'm sitting on. I can hear myself. I'm like, deep, breathing heavy. I'm just like, am I tired? Like I didn't like that.
Well,
but,
and then also the stage is
smack dab in the center.
Well, and you're like elevated. You're on this platform about 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and like no boundary or border.
And it's I kind of saved him because I like shot in for a blast double. I'm like, okay, we're going off the mat. So I'm like holding him back. I'm pulling him back in.
I don't want to take him down. Into the front row.
Being nicer than I should have, but.
I'm sure you'll do it again.
Oh, yeah. I told Adam, I was like,
those are fun events.
Usually I'm the one where I work the show. Like I'll be like, I'm like the bell guy behind the scenes. Like I'm hitting the bell, which is, you know, just something I can watch the show for free. And I'm just, you know, hitting a bell, watching you guys go at it. But the last one, I'm like, hey man, I told Adam, like, since I'm fighting in MMA, I'm like, can I, you know, get a little warm up, you know, tune up to get into the back in the grappling. He said, and he agreed. But I definitely want to train jiu-jitsu heavy and then, you know, get a better match and, you know, actually show some jiu-jitsu and not just be a.
Spend some time just working grappling for like a month or two, you know, you really dive into that kind of, cause that's a whole different, you know, especially you're doing a ton of striking a lot, I would imagine. So just really that, you know, spending a good amount of time just grappling would, you know, you get good at what you're focusing on. You know?
So. Yeah. Most of my jiu-jitsu is just, yo, survive. Don't get subbed, you know, get out of the submission to get back to your feet.
Yeah.
that is my jiu-jitsu.
Hey dude. I mean, in MMA, that's not a horrible, not a horrible game plan, you know, especially with how good you are on the feet. So how often do you go to Chipotle?
a scary amount. If you've seen my reward points, you would be sometimes I have
dude,
to
your memes that you post will be crack me up. It's always about like giving the cashier a bad look when he tells him that this guy got double chicken.
Yeah, that was so whenever I fight somewhere, like they'll post like There's a bunch of pictures they take, and I'll go through them. I'm like, which one's meme worthy? I'll literally look at every photo. I'm like, that's the one. And that was probably one of my funnier ones. I actually really got a good laugh out of that one. And but yeah, it's always either going to be Chipotle based or just because that's what people that
everybody loves. Chipotle, yeah,
mm-hmm. People that are close to me, they know like that I will tear some. Like I never get told either. Like I said,
no, dude, I'm the same way. I eat it. Yeah. I eat it a lot. Yeah, I'm a regular. I mean, dude, there was the one up in Kirkwood. I used to when we were doing the construction at the restaurant that I worked at. I was there for 9 months and probably 3 to 5 days a week. I would go to that Chipotle right there. And a couple of the girls there knew me by name eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's how the Chipotle.
The usual Zach. Yeah.
You know, it's bad when they're already, they got your name.
They're pressing the tortilla as I walk up.
Zach special on the menu.
They see me coming. They're getting the tortilla out and putting it in the press before I even get up there.
It's like you don't need to order, man. We know what you want.
We know you want a double steak burrito, white rice, black beans, cheese, red salsa.
That's bad. But like I said, sometimes I have to when I'm training for a fight, I'll delete the app because like I said, I'll get a notification and be like, oh, double points if you. I'm like, oh, fuck, all right,
the points.
It's bad. So like I said, I will. I have so many free meals on there. It's ridiculous. Like I don't have to spend a lot of money because I've already spent a ton of money. It's bad.
That's awesome. Well, one thing too on the questionnaire, and you put it perfectly. What has fighting taught you about being like true manhood?
Just gearing back to taking many all the losses that I did. Like it just attributes to everything in life. Like if you lose and you get knocked down, you just get back up, and that you can apply that to everything. Like you like fail a test, all right, let's study harder for the next one and pass the next one. Or you don't get the job you wanted, all right, you can go reapply to everything else. It just fighting wrestling in general it's taught me, it shaped my life and made me so mentally strong that it takes a lot to break me down. Like just because I've already lost so much, so I know how this feels. I know what it takes to bounce back and get back on the get back on my horse and get back to the spot that I want to be in.
That's awesome.
So what's obviously you got this big fight, you have your first pro fight coming up, but like goal down the line, like what UFC?
That's the goal. There's every fighter who starts it when you're serious to UFC is like, the Mecca. That's where you want to get.
Pinnacle.
That's the spot you want to be in. But when I was, just striking, I thought I was just going to be a striker. I was looking at, one championship and glory. I'm like, I could see myself doing that, but I think I just love fighting. Like I wouldn't care where I ended up as long as I'm, fighting at a high, the high level, the highest level where I am, kickboxing and striking. Glory is like your, the highest level in striking that you can get to. Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira, they all came from Glory. I'm like, I could do that, But, I also watched, Israel, he went from Glory to UFC. So it's like, if I had to, go the Glory route and then from Glory go to UFC, I would do that too. But, UFC is like, that's like the, top nine, that's the end goal. That's where I want to be, fighting the best guys in the world, hopefully, sniffing that gold.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever had any thoughts like when, like whenever you're done fighting, like what do you want to do?
I've been all over the place. So I changed my mind a lot. I'm like, all right, I can, open a gym, train people, which I probably still would. I love being in the gym and I love training people. Like, I have so many, lessons and I do private lessons and starting to get too many, which is not a bad thing.
That's a good thing. I enjoy it.
Yeah. But, like, all right, guys, I still got to train myself. So I got to, I fit people in, but, I love doing the gym aspect. Sometimes, my little brother and my mom, big cookers. I'm like, open a, healthy restaurant, there's just so many things, I think I'm gearing towards, business owner, just owning my own stuff and, just branching off, collabing with, other brands and just, building a brand, start a clothing thing, people call me Hollywood. I'm like, I can start a Hollywood clothing line or something, So, like I said, I change my mind all the time. My brain is always firing off, different ideas and, seeing, what other fighters do and like, you know, trying to make my own thing around that. You know, I write down so much stuff. I'm like, as soon as I get an idea, I'm like, all right, I got to write that down and, you know, keep it. But, you know, winning the fights and, you know, getting to that highest level, that's what's going to open up a lot of those doors. And, you know, that's really the motivation, you know, winning these fights and, you know, creating a life outside of fighting, because I don't want to fight forever. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, you can. It's hard on your body. You can only do it for so long.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart seeing a lot of the, you know, my, you know, people I grew up watching still fighting and, you know, chasing that check and, you know, the money fight. It's like, I don't really want to have to do that. I don't want to have to, oh, I need to fight because I need this paycheck. I want fighting to set me up so good to where I don't have to ever step back in that ring.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you see a lot of those guys. I mean, Conor McGregor did it with the proper, what is it, proper 12 and all the other business ventures he's got going on. I mean, they use that celebrity that they created from fighting and springboarding it into other business ventures, which is super
crazy.
Smart.
As crazy as he is, that's like something that you can't admire. Right. He's a little going off the deep end now lately, but just everything that he's, you know, accomplished outside the ring, it's like, man, how can you not admire? I mean, that guy went from being a plumber to owning Dublin. Like, dude, he's got private jets and he's
got
doing
a Lamborghini
dude,
yacht.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, and you know, I don't even need all that stuff. That'd be cool. Don't get me wrong. But like, just, you know, being able to set myself up and my family and, you know, people around me, you know, making a team and just everybody's able to eat off of it. That's something that drives me, just, you know, making sure everybody around me is, you know, good. That's what I want. It's like, I don't need, you know, 12 foreign cars and, you know, 30 different watch the price of my house. It's like, I don't need all that. I could literally, that $130,000 watch, bro, you could feed like an entire, you know, school of people. And you just like, those are things that I think about. I'm not the, as much as people call me Hollywood, I'm not as flashy as people think. I'd rather, you know, help the people in my circle. And that's every time I step in that ring or cage, that's what's going through my mind. That's what's motivating me, you know, retiring my parents, the just little things, you know, that's the goal. That's the motivation.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, look forward to watching and tracking and following along as you continue to move through this. Like I said, let us know when those tickets are available and we'll buy it. Cause you get a portion of the ticket sales, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Let us know. We can put them on the show. And
yeah. Sell them.
Something. Yeah. Sure.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. We'd love to do that.
Anything else that you want to dive into or anything else you want to chat about? Or
I was always curious how you got into the real estate thing. I remember when we first met, you were like a server. I remember.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's cool, you know, seeing your how you flip gears. I'm like, dude, that's super cool. Like, I was always curious about that. Like,
I worked in the restaurant industry for almost 11 years, and I went opened a restaurant with a buddy of mine, did that for a number, you know, for a few years, and then right at the tail end of that, that's when I joined Finney's, and then I ultimately ended up leaving that restaurant. And just went back to waiting tables because that was just kind of my old faithful. You know, I had the place that I worked, and I just kind of always left the door open when I left. And you know, they always welcomed me back with open arms every time. And that was like my high school and college job. And, you know, I could make good money doing it. I could live off the money I made there. And so I was like, oh, I can go here and try to kind of figure out my life. And then my grandma is actually, she's in her mid-80s and still a licensed real estate agent. And she talked me into getting my real estate license. And so, you know, I was like, all right, I'll do it. You know, what do I got to lose? I have no other, because I kind of put all my eggs in the restaurant basket. And I was like, man, what the fuck am I going to do now? And so that's what I did. And then, you know, I got my license in September of 19. And then, you know, started kind of getting the ball rolling a little bit at the end of that year. But then really kind of the beginning of 20 is when I was really, really starting to make some progress. And, you know, kind of had a guy kind of take me under his wing and kind of show me the ropes.
Nice.
And then March of 2020 happened, you know, cause I was still waiting tables that whole time. And then March of 2020 happened and all the restaurants shut down. And I was like, well, I guess I'll be a full-time real estate agent now. And, so that's what I did. And I just started treating it like a job, man. I started working it, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day, making phone calls, doing open houses, doing all the things and, you know, kind of doing everything that I was being taught. And, you know, ended up having a you know, some success and closing a couple deals. And then when restaurants opened back up in July, you know, I ended up going back for like 2 weeks, not even, I think it was like a week and a half. And I felt like I was missing out, because I was like, my phone was ringing all the time. I was like, and I had all this momentum built up from doing the real estate for the last 4 or 5 months. And then, you know, I had to go back and, you know, work a day job. And I was like, man, this is really hindering this. And like, I feel like I'm losing all this progress. And so I eventually, you know, at the time, you know, I was so bad with money, and I would spend every dollar I made. You know, when I was waiting tables, we had like almost no savings, and we saved up. You know, I mean, I had a handful of deals closed, more money than I'd ever made in that amount of time. And I was like, well, I've got, you know, I looked at my wife and I was like, we've got like 4 or 5 months worth of bills here saved up. I was like, we can live for like 4 or 5 months. And then like, that's, but I was like, if I keep going with this thing, I think I can continue to close deals and continue to progress with this. And so that's when I left the restaurant and just haven't turned back. I've worked and been doing it now for 5 years.
Terrible decision on his part. Just terrible.
Nah, man, I remember being at the gym, and I remember you're like, yeah, I'm studying for this test. I was like, I remember all that. So that's why I said it's super,
yeah, crazy.
It's cool. Like seeing like the real, your reels are funny, man.
Thank you.
I was like, the reels you do. And I'm like, oh man, that's super cool. Like I always love seeing like, you know, an idea, you know, just a thought, and then come to, you know, realize.
Come to fruition. Yeah, it's, man, just like you with fighting, cool, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it didn't, you know, it's started off a little rocky, you know, but then look at you now. It's kind of the same thing with me. Like it was a little, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, you know, like I went and got my college degree and like have not used it. But like I've, you know, a lot of the relationships that I have, you know, that I had through college, that I met people that I met through college, and you know, that's where I think I've benefited most from going to college. But like, as far as like, I didn't know, I had no, this was not like this wasn't the game plan from like an early age, you know? But, you know, just kind of fell into it and really fell in love with it. I really genuinely enjoy what I do. I really love it. And, it's
seems
fun,
like it,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nope. It's killing it. It's killing it. So,
and you said you're in real estate too. Like you do this.
I'm on the finance side. I do mortgages.
Okay.
Yep. So,
you need a loan, you call him.
Yeah, I'm the money guy. So, yeah, no, I started, I played professional baseball. I was with the Cincinnati Reds for.
Dude, I was going to say, when you came to the door, I was like, this dude's a unit. Yeah. He's done. I was like, he's done something.
We look like we're the same height on camera, but my chair's jacked all the way up and his is sitting on the floor.
So that makes a lot of sense. I was like, as soon as he opened the door, I'm like, all right.
This dude's a unit.
Makes sense.
But yeah, so I played for the Reds for that from 2010. My last spring training with them was in 2014. Played a year of independent baseball, which it's still professional baseball. It's just not affiliated with any major league teams. So did that, and then came back in the off season. Was still training. Was in talks with possibly going to back to spring training with the Diamondbacks, and that didn't happen. And then the team re-signed me that I was playing for, and so they picked up my contract and traded me to a team here in St. Louis, because they called me and they're like, do you still want to play? And I'm like, not really. I'm kind of done. I said I was going to give it 5 years after college, and I started doing mortgage, like behind the scenes mortgage stuff. October of 2014 was when I started, and then they're like, my mom, who did it for 47 years, was just like, why don't you go get your, just take the licensing exam. Like, why not? So took it, passed it. And so I actually didn't get my license didn't actually get approved until April. So I was already in spring training with this new team that I got traded for. Knew I didn't want to play. Really didn't train going into spring training, just kind of showed up and wasn't in shape. I mean, I was still able to get guys out, but I wasn't like the best version of myself because my heart wasn't in anymore. Right. And so I just went in and retired from that, and then started doing this full time May of 2015, and just kind of took off from there with it. Yeah, it's just been it's great, because I mean it's super competitive. So that was one of the biggest things that drew me to it, was like how competitive it was, because it still allowed me to like tick off that competitive edge that I've always had in my life. And so yeah, I just kind of kept rolling with it and kept developing relationships. You know, I college, I did get my finance degree, so I am kind of using my degree, but the best thing that I learned from it was how to network, mm-hmm. and how to meet friends and befriend people and things like that and develop relationships. And that's really what my job is to go out and develop relationships with real estate agents, financial advisors, just different people to get them to trust me, and then send their referrals to me, and then show them how my team does it and get people through the process in a very easy and efficient way. And it's just kind of, it's just blown up, got a team, and we're pretty solid. Yeah, so
he's being very modest. He's like top 1%.
Yes. Yes. In the top 1% in the country. And my team, I've got a really great business partner, /mentor that took a chance on me when I got in the business. It's not normal to take somebody that has zero experience. I mean, that's why, like, if you were to look at the average age of loan officers, they're like 55 years old. There's not a whole lot of young people getting into it. There's been a little bit of a blow up of that lately. There's some solid loan officers that I've come across over the last couple of years that are younger too, that have a very bright future in this, that are doing great things. And, I'm excited to see kind of where it goes, because all these older people are going to be retiring here soon, and it's just going to be open season for us younger guys. It's been great. My business partner's taught me a lot. Dude's incredible with what he does and how much business he does and how he does it. It's been fun to follow and kind of follow in his footsteps. So, yeah.
So, like, how'd you guys come? Like, how'd the show come about?
How did this come about?
Yeah,
a text message.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, so I was working with our producer Murph. He was doing my social media content for about a year, a little over a year. And him and I were working together. We were already getting together once or twice a week, and we'd sit down and film stuff. And it started out with me like coming up with a script. It was like, okay, today I want to talk about inspections, or today I want to talk about FHA loans, or whatever it was. And I'd like write out a script of like what I wanted to say. But in those videos, if you go back and look at them, it always kind of sounds like I'm reading off a script. And then eventually we kind of got to this part, we kind of modified it where we were like, all right, well, I'm just going to ask you a question and you just riff on it for a couple minutes, and you just answer it. And then he basically we'd do that, and he would clip out, the best little 30-second clip that I said, and then boom, there's a reel. And so that's what we did for about a year. And then I ended up being a guest on Murph had a podcast. I'm sure he'll bring it back one day. Right, Murph?
Yep.
I was a guest on his podcast, and at the end of it, he would ask a question, give me one question you want to ask me. And it was like, I was like, should I start a podcast? Like, yeah, man, I think you should. I think you're good at it. You're good on camera. You can good at talking to people and having conversations. So I think you should. So that got me thinking. I was like, well, him and I are getting together once or twice a week anyway, it was for the social media stuff. And I was like, well, why don't we just like get together? I'm a huge fan of podcasts. I've been listening to like Rogan since like 2015, like I listen to every episode every week, pretty much.
Yep.
Like I listen to a lot of them. And so and I'm just a huge fan, and I consume a lot of podcasts. And I was like, man, I think it'd be really cool to like do, to have my own. But I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to take on that responsibility of like just being me. And then Pat and I were at the time kind of making these like silly, stupid videos together. Yeah. Like, you go back and look at it, we have one where he's dressed up as Santa Claus and I dress up as an elf, and we have like people come in and like sit on his lap and they're like, what do you want for Christmas? I want a 2-bedroom, 1-bath in Crestwood or whatever it was. And so we were, him and I were already kind of doing that. Him and I have been working together for a few years, and it just became good friends. And obviously we've become even better friends doing this. But, he's just like one of those guys where we'd call to talk about a business thing. And then all of a sudden you realize like 45 minutes had gone by just because we were just bullshitting, yeah. And I was like, well, he's someone I could talk to. And like, I was like, I know he played pro baseball, both athletes, we're both dads. He's got, I know he's told me a lot of these funny baseball stories. So I'm like, I'm sure those will be great to tell on the podcast. And so I just, I had this text written out for like 3 days before I sent it to him. So I was like, cause it's like a big thing to ask someone. Oh, yeah. Like, hey man, do you want to come spend, 4 hours a week with me for the next foreseeable future and pay and split the cost of this thing with me? And so that, I eventually sent it to him, and like within 30 seconds, he fucking responded, fuck yeah, dude, I'm in. and here we are. And like, we sent that text on like a Thursday, and I think we were recording a Thursday and recording our next episode on Monday, first episode on Monday or something.
I was in Kansas City for a Chiefs game. It was on a Saturday.
And we recorded our first episode on that Wednesday.
Yeah. Just finished shotgunning a beer. right when I respond after I respond or right before I responded to that.
We had something to do with that response.
Yeah. Looking back on it, he's like, fuck. What did I get myself into?
Great drunk decision, Pat. Yeah. No, but yeah, it was on a Saturday and we met on Monday. We sat down on Monday. We ordered a bunch of shit off of Amazon and we sat down and came up with a game plan with Murph on what we wanted to kind of talk about. And by Wednesday, we were recording. So like all of in like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, we just kind of fucking did it.
Just jumped.
And here we are, you know, more than a year later.
What is this, 120? This is episode 120? 119?
I think 119. Nice. Yeah, this will be 119.
Yeah. That's cool.
So December 10th, 2023.
Yeah, dude. We're just chugging along.
Just having
just
fun
not
with
stopping.
It.
You know, it's like we just have fun with it. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it's not a huge show by any means at this point, but you know, if we keep doing
start
it,
somewhere.
You know, we'll start somewhere, yeah. You know,
Keep having cool guests like you come on and telling your story and things like that. No, I mean, that's what we want. I mean, that's why we switched the way we did this, because we realized like the awesome people that we know and the people that we want to have on, we were doing 4 guests a month and then 4 episodes of just Zach and I, and now we're doing 8. Or we've got 6 guests a month, and then him and I will just do 2 episodes a month, just him and I.
Yeah.
So,
super.
Yeah. So, no, it's been fun. It's been blast. And I mean, we got connected with some really cool people here from the club that own what's called Punchline Production. And basically, they're creating a podcast platform on YouTube and things like that. And they'll go out and pick up advertising and stuff for us. And it's just been really great. And then just meeting the other shows that they've brought on and being able to collaborate with those people. And I mean, it's been awesome. So.
Yeah. I always thought about doing the same thing, but you know, me and my friends started a podcast. We are canceled immediately. We would not make it. No. We would not make it.
Yeah, we've had a couple episodes where we've had 1 or 2 episodes where you're like, we probably shouldn't release that one. That one's not going to look good.
Yeah, early on, Toxic Masculinity. That was an interesting show that we had to re-record.
I can imagine. Yeah,
yeah, got a little out of hand.
I feel like we did a good job. Murph liked to throw in his 2 cents, and Murph, love you, Murph, but he's very political, and he was asking us questions that we were like, how do we safely answer these?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like him and I look at each other at one point, like, you go first.
No. Rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's been fun. No, if you want to start one, man, it's a blast, man. It is every week getting here, coming in, hanging out with people, getting to like I said, meeting cool people and have interesting stories, and just letting them talk. And then throwing in your own 2 cents to it and spin to it. It's a blast, but I will say the one thing that we would recommend, and if we didn't have him, this wouldn't have been lasted as long as get yourself a producer.
Yeah.
Because they'll cut up the reels. They'll do all the stuff. And, to where all you have to do, like we just show up and talk, which is what we do anyway, all the time. So.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. We love it.
Yeah. It's a great time. So if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Seriously. So, but
I'm going to stick to my fighting for a while.
That's for after fighting. Develop that following. So then a quick and easy transition
that's
for it.
Saying, yeah, no. that's for sure. Yeah. I'm sure if you have a bigger following, you'll grow a hell of a lot faster than you do.
Yeah. Look at Arian.
Yeah, for sure, dude. He's blowing up.
Killing it, man. You were on his show recently too.
Yep, super intimidating. Like I was telling Zay, I walked in here, I'm like, yep, intimidating, just like his. Just something about the cameras, you know, being set up.
Cameras,
like,
lights,
yeah,
all
the things. I'm like, cool, it's real.
Yeah. We just walk in, we got an iPhone sitting on the table.
loved his show as well.
Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, we've had him on.
He was definitely one of the guys that lit my face up growing up, too. I'm like, do I really want to do this sport? I can't even make it out of the room. And, you know, Arian just styling on me, but a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. We had him on not too long ago, and then Zach was on his. And I'm meeting up with him next week, and we're recording. I was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but was sick. So, yeah, enjoy listening to his stuff. He puts on a good show. So, but yeah, guy can talk. Yeah. So I'm excited to see where that goes. But
me too. Definitely going to listen to that one.
Oh, for sure.
Whenever that one comes out.
Yeah. I don't even know where the hell that's going to go, but find out.
We'll find out. Yeah.
But anyway, before we let you go, anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
Guys, follow my career. It's going to be electric. I had my first pro fight March 14th, like I said, and from there it's going to be crazy. Wild ride. I know that goal for the UFC is just an arm's reach. Just got to get these wins together, keep pushing the way I am and keep working hard, and I know I'll be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, right, we'll get some tickets and probably do some giveaways with the tickets on here and as well within the club. So get a good group out there for you. Well, before we let you go, we always end it with one last question. Okay. So here lies Kendall. What's it say on your tombstone?
Guy who always kept it real.
Perfect.
Love it.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Please click that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. That would help us out a ton. Click that like button as well. Comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.